The Israel Report with Rolien Marx.
Rolien Marx, good afternoon to you. Tell me about your last 24 hours.
Good afternoon, Simon and listeners. And before I get into that, I just want to just say a thank you to all of you. You, Simon, the fabulous center behind the scenes, Chai FM, Kathy, Howard, all of you for just your incredible support during this week and last week. I know that this is a very tough time for the community as well. And guys, as much as you are here for us, we are here for you, and I just want to send you some love. But we do have some breaking news, this time coming from Al Jazeera, who have indicated that the Israeli government have formally expressed a readiness to enter a ceasefire. This is to the Egyptian mediator. We don't have many confirmations apart from Al Jazeera, but this is breaking news.
Wow. Does that explain what appears to be a bit of an escalation at the moment with the South being hit really hard by rockets?
It has been, these last couple of hours have been absolutely insane as barrage after barrage have been fired on the Negev area, Ashdod, Ashkelon, Netivot. Ashdod is probably about 25 minutes away from where I am here in Modi'in, and I have felt boom after boom after boom after boom as that Iron Dome does what it does best and intercepts these rockets coming in. We have had confirmation from the IDF that schools will remain closed throughout southern and central until tomorrow evening. This is at the moment.
And the fact, Rolien, that the IDF is looking, well, not the IDF, because they do what the government tells them to do, the government is weighing a ceasefire, does that mean, in your opinion, that the military objectives have been achieved by the IDF?
Well, this is what we have heard from our Defense Minister, Benny Gantz, and our Ramatkal, Aviv Kochavi, forgot his name there for a second, Simon. That's not like me. That they have hit a lot of the targets that they have intended to hit. You know, most people just want to see an end to this never-ending cycle of rocket fire. Also going on as we speak is a gathering of the United Nations General Assembly, and somebody has said on Twitter, the hate is strong at the UNGA today, starting with Turkey. Turkey are really upping the ante on their anti-Israel and anti-Semitic rhetoric. There was an issue yesterday with President Erdogan, which got the Secretary of State of the United States to issue a public statement condemning his anti-Semitism. But these last 24 hours have been extremely, extremely difficult with barrage after barrage and military strike after military strike by the IDF. And just to reiterate, because I know it's been said, but it's not being heard, that these strikes are pinpoint. In fact, writing in an op-ed for Jerusalem Post, Yaakov Katz, the editor, actually referred to the military precision, saying at least 74% of casualties have been combatants. And I know many of you out there are thinking, well, why isn't that number higher? It is probably one of the highest percentages in combat ever. So we have to put that into perspective when we talk about trying to mitigate as many as possible civilian casualties.
Ro, Yair Lapid was reported to have said that Israel might have won the military war, but it lost the political battle. I'm just interested as to whether you personally would ever have thought that post-Holocaust we'd be witnessing the kind of scenes we've seen coming out of Los Angeles, where Jews in sushi restaurants are sought out and attacked.
I'm going to say something that's going to be upsetting for people to hear, but I think it's very important that we say it. And here I really appeal to our listeners who consider themselves allies of the community. And apologies in advance if I do upset people, but it is very important that we hear this. We have often asked ourselves, how did the Shoah, how did the Holocaust happen? How was it that educated people, cultured people, came to either be silent bystanders, collaborators, or the perpetrators of the grossest genocide of all times. And what we have seen on social media, what we are seeing playing out in the streets of cities around the world, including in Johannesburg, where nobody is safe, not a child to the elderly, is safe from the hatred of anti-Semitism. It has flared up, the likes of which we have never seen before. We've had elderly Jewish men beaten in the streets. We've had convoys of Palestinian supporters driving through the streets of London, threatening to rape women. We've heard death to the Jews. Not a criticism of Israeli policy. Not a criticism of Israeli policy. An explicit call for the death to Jews. I know that we might roll our eyes and when I say celebrities, influencers, sharing some of the grossest disinformation. And I know many of you are rolling your eyes saying, do we take swimsuit models and Instagram influencers seriously? When they have individual reach of 45 million, we take it deadly seriously because their words, what they are sharing, is playing out on our streets. When you do have celebrities, I'm going to call her out, Kim Kardashian, another one, Rihanna, trying to look at both sides and be and express humanity for both sides, being absolutely torn apart because how dare they include Israelis in their sense of humanity. We have a very, very real problem. I have lost count of the amount of death wishes I have received and the amount of profiles of Adolf Hitler telling me that that's the solution to me that I receive daily. I have lost count of that. I know what's going on in South Africa. Many of you are messaging me during the course of the day. I'm watching it closely as I'm watching the events around the world. This is horrific. So, but I will tell you, let me finish just a sec, but I will tell you something very important, and listen to me carefully. What was in our ancestors for generations and millennia that has got us through this kind of hatred is in us as well. We have survived the unthinkable. And we will survive. And for me, the answer to it is to stand up and be proud, no matter how scary and intimidating it feels sometimes.
So Austin's asked a very practical question this afternoon, Rolene. I'd love you to weigh on it. He says, what can hashtag, you don't have to be Jewish community, what can they do to assist in this fight?
First of all, reach out to your Jewish friends and ask them how they're doing. That's the first thing you can do. And get out there and share the information. Do it factually. Try and do it without getting too emotional. Don't do it accusatory because that really, really doesn't help anybody. Try and get into conversations where you engage with people. But get out there and be our Iron Dome against lies, against misinformation, and against blatant hatred that is leading to violence in the streets of cities, cultured cities around the world.
Let's move off current affairs for a moment and move to a different sort of current affair, which is the race for the president. I've got to tell you, Rolene, I asked the question a little earlier as to who we'd like to see stand. Didn't get too many wonderful responses. Could have Netanyahu, Bennett, not much more. Who is in the running?
Okay, so let's be clear. Naftali Bennett and Benjamin Netanyahu can't run for president yet. They're the heads of parties. The president is a ceremonial position, is somebody who kind of transcends politics and is our representative on the world stage. She's kind of like, almost like the queen is in a constitutional monarchy, except not the queen, or maybe coming up. So leaders of political parties are out of the running. How it works is that if you want to be the president, you have to submit your candidacy to the at least 10 Knesset members to get their endorsement. The Knesset decides, not the people of Israel. And we have two very, very excellent candidates so far. We have Isaac Bougie Herzog, former of the Labour Party. He is now the head of the Sochnut of the Jewish Agency for Israel, the son of a former president, Chaim Herzog. He's an official candidate, as is the lovely Miriam Peretz. Many of you are familiar with Miriam Peretz. She's an activist. She lost two sons in the RDF. She's a phenomenal woman. The only thing counting against her is that she cannot speak English, which is quite important. But those are the first two official candidates that we have.
Rolene Marks, have a peaceful, and I really mean that, wishing you a peaceful Shabbat. Shabbat Shalom to you. Be strong. Thanks for your input this week. And hope Monday it's a completely different affair.
Amen, amen.